When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Bore da, Penrallt. Good morning, Penrallt Church. It is wonderful to be with you this morning and to welcome you into my home here in Roath in Cardiff. My name is Sian Rees and I am the Director of the Evangelical Alliance here in Wales. And it's my privilege this morning to be opening the Word of God with you and for you. So thank you to your leadership for the invitation to do so. I never take an invitation to preach for granted. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday, and churches will be gathering probably online all across the world to celebrate a day where God kept his promise in giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, the church, and I'm talking big C, hasn't been great at acknowledging the person and the power of the Holy Spirit across the centuries, maybe due to a lack of understanding on their part. Rather than a Trinity made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a lot of people have settled for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Now, the Bible's amazing. Here's mine. It's well used and very much gaffer-taped. But it's not a person. Therefore, to miss out on the person of the Holy Spirit is to miss out on one third of the beautiful Godhead. You mustn't forget either that the Holy Spirit has been with us since the beginning of time. He isn't some 21st century phenomenon. In Genesis chapter 1, we are told that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Pentecost is, of course, celebrated 50 days on from what is known as Easter, Resurrection Sunday. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, we read an account of the women taking spices that they had prepared to Jesus' tomb. But when they arrived at the tomb, of course, they couldn't find his body, and they encounter some angelic beings who appear to them and tell them, "He is not here, he is risen." And what follows is a sequence of events where Jesus appears to, first of all, some people on the road to Emmaus, but then to the 11 disciples who were gathered at the end of Luke 24. Just listen to what Jesus says in verse 49 of that chapter. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And stay they did. We hear this promise again in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, which fits in really well with the verse I've just read, because Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I have promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These words are obviously a reminder of the words of John the Baptist in the Gospels, who John refers to as Jesus as being the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Unlike John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance and a baptism of water, Jesus would come to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so throughout the book of Acts, we read time and time again of converts repenting, being baptized in water and receiving the Holy Spirit. This promise, this gift of the Holy Spirit would, Acts 1 verse 8 tells us, empower them to accomplish the Great Commission. Jesus tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus was promising to empower the disciples to transform the earth with the power of heaven itself. So let's pick up the account of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I love that the Bible records that the 120 believers were all together when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. They had indeed followed Jesus' instructions to stay in Jerusalem, and now the wait was over. What we have in verse 2 is a picture of the two ways that the Holy Spirit showed up on that day. One was an audible manifestation, and the other was a visual manifestation. Luke, the author of Acts, is careful with the vocabulary that he uses, probably because he was struggling to describe the transcendent. In other words, something that was beyond ordinary human experience, but which needed to be described using earthly analogies. The first picture is of a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. If you know your Old Testament, you'll know that wind often accompanied an appearance by God. You can read an example of that in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, and then later in Ezekiel, where Yahweh's breath breathes life into dry bones. The second picture we have of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts 2, as I said, verse 3, what seemed to be like tongues of fire. Again, in the Old Testament, fire is used to accompany an appearance of God. Think of the burning bush in Exodus, or the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites in the book of Numbers. What's interesting in verse 3 is that unlike the fire of the Old Testament, which came in one block, so to speak, the fire in Acts separated and went to rest on each one of them. In fact, verse 4 tells us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's so important to realise, as this fulfilled exactly what the prophet Joel had prophesied hundreds of years previously when he said, "It shall come about after this that I shall pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on the male and female servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." In other words, God would pour out his Holy Spirit on all people, regardless of gender, age, background, race, colour, language. And that's good news for all of us, isn't it? Let me just make one more comment about the tongues of fire. Fire changes whatever it touches. Fire leaves a mark on whatever it burns. Not only that, fire sets other things on fire. Could this possibly be a picture of God empowering his people to set the world ablaze for him? Could this possibly be what you and I need in our lives so that we can live a godly life and change the lives of those around us? Let's head back to verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what about this speaking in tongues then? What's that all about? Well, one of the manifestations of being filled with the Holy Spirit was, and still is, the ability to speak in tongues. Some people would ask whether on this occasion it refers to speaking in a heavenly spirit language or being able to speak in a foreign earthly language they hadn't previously learnt. Well, verses 6 and 8 would indicate that unlike the accounts of speaking in tongues that we read of in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, on this occasion, the pious Jews that gathered around them marvelled at hearing the Christians speak in earthly languages different from their own. Verses 6 and 7 tells us that they were bewildered, utterly amazed. Then later in verse 12, they were amazed and perplexed. I'm sure they were. They'd just heard the sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and they'd seen what seemed like tongues of fire rest on the Spirit-filled believers. This was no ordinary day. But sadly, as we learn from verse 13, some made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. You know, people who are filled with the Spirit often come under attack from others as they come across as being full of zeal, excited about Jesus, dynamic. But isn't that exactly how we should be? What is clear is that having been filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit-filled believers were now fully empowered for mission, as they were told in Acts 1, where Jesus told them that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that by the end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people had been added to their number. And that's a pretty good return, isn't it? So how might we respond and apply to what we've learned this morning to our own lives here in Wales in the 21st century, in the middle of this global pandemic? How does this apply to us? Let me just leave you with three things to ponder. First of all, having ascended to heaven in chapter 1, clearly Jesus is no longer physically with us on earth. Earth ultimately was too restrictive for Jesus in that he was only in one place at one time. However, each one of us can now receive the Holy Spirit. Each one of us can ask him to come and fill and dwell inside us. He is our guide. He's our comforter, our counselor. He's the one who strengthens us to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as believers, we all can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Why not ask the Lord to fill you today? Secondly, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people at certain times for certain tasks. But the day of Pentecost broke that whole system, and now all believers can receive him. He sets us on fire to do the work of the Father here on earth. He sets us on fire that we might spiritually set light to those around us. And then finally, being filled with the Holy Spirit empowers us to live out this life for God. You know, later on in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we read this beautiful account of what church, big C, should look like. It's a passage that is so pertinent as we face the months and years ahead post-COVID-19 pandemic. Let me read for you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Each day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Might the passage I've just read become a template for us in the days ahead? These are strange and difficult days, not just for us here in Wales, but of course across the globe. Father wants us to be filled with the Spirit so that we can love him and so that we can love this world. My prayer for us all today is that we accept God's invitation to be filled with his Spirit. Bless you.